fresh bottle of Park Bench Porter.
Very nice indeed. I have
20 ounces.
Ooh. I have a 1 pint glass of Malibu coconut rum and Coke.
I have
22 ounces, actually.
I have QRM spring water.
Spring water.
And what is the alcohol by volume of that spring water?
Oh, no, no. It's just regular spring water.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I did partake after the snow blowing this afternoon. I did sit down and have some Red Stag straight.
Ah, there you go.
I see.
With my rocks. On the rocks, literally.
Ooh, he's drinking straight
up. I'm out of the code red.
Yeah. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Dahaba has snow, and lots of it. Michael reviews the Everson HD Action Cam, and Barry unboxes his new MacBook Pro. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Jash, Barry J, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM show number 83 from the snowy, kind of snowy, southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
From the, I guess, also kind of snowy, but just more wet, southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
And from the post-blizzard suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Youper in the man cave.
You made it to the man cave?
I made it to the man cave.
Is that did you have to rototiller the ice anymore?
I was going to say, or either that, or what he's not saying is he had to use a front end loader to make a path to get to the man cave.
Well, there is a story there, but actually, I will need to break out the rototiller again. We've had quite a week here.
Really? How much snow did you get?
We probably only got, in the actual blizzard itself, we probably only got 12, 14 inches in that particular event, but it was like 20 below wind chill and 40, 50 mile an hour winds, and it was coming off the lake, as you'll be able to see in some of those videos I sent you guys. The trees are just all coated white, but it was total whiteout conditions, and the drifts were just coming. It got to the point by the warnings went out Monday. We knew we were getting snow, but it went from advisory to winter storm warning to blizzard warning. I don't bother to name them up here, but and I was making runs back and forth to town on Tuesday till the point where I was getting to the point where I didn't think I'd be able to ram the Jeep through the drifts anymore.
Wow.
The last run I made, they're still not running the plows up here. After they'll make one run in the morning sometimes, and then they stop at the city limits and turn around, despite the fact there's 20 people that live past the end of the road there. And
what are you supposed to do?
But I was, well, they're supposed to be doing it because it's a U.S. federal highway, and they're getting funds to plow it to the end of the road, not to the end of Copper Harbor. But I'll diverge there. I was having to make runs to town, and about 3 o'clock, I stopped to town because that's when my wife was getting done with her postmistress duty at the post office, and made sure she got home all right. And from the time I went to town to the time I came back, and that's actually when I took that video that you were watching, I had mentioned that it was getting dicey. Well, and that basically 45 minutes from the time I went to the post office, we stopped at the deck there, took some pictures, and went back. If she had not been leading with the big truck, I would not have gotten through the drifts the last time.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Then I got back to the house and thinking, man, I hope there isn't a page, because I'm not going to be able to get back to town to the ambulance. I wouldn't have tried the Jeep. I would have tried the truck, but I'm not sure it would have made it back through again. It was drifting that fast.
Wow. Jeez.
That would.
So. Yeah. We got 12 to 14 then, and then we get another 6 to 12 Friday, I think. It's been enough to clean up. But that's where the problem began, because, there's when it's blowing 50 miles an hour, there's no point in even trying to clear anything up until it stops.
Right.
And it didn't really stop until about mid-morning on Wednesday. So one of my neighbors is out of town. They asked me to basically said, you can use our tractor. Let's, because he's the one that's keeping everybody open right now with my tractor down.
Oh, that's right.
Went to their property, which is about a mile drive from here at the very end of the road. Got to the property, you open it up, started the tractor, let it warm up. Made one pass down the driveway, came back down. I figured I'd open his driveway up first. I was brave enough to drive down there with my Jeep, thinking, well, I'll be able to open it up so I'd be able to drive out, no problem. Got back to their barn, turned it around, got about 50 feet, and the blower stopped running.
Oh, no.
Now, this is a 3120 John Deere. It's a pretty good size four-wheel drive tractor. So I, disengaged the front end PTO, walked around the front, and expecting to see the sure pins gone, and they weren't. Uh-oh. Like, well, gee, sure pins are intact. And then I notice something, and I look underneath, and there's the PTO laying on the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, like, there's your problem. Well, there's, one of those quick disconnects coming off the... It's a front-mounted blower on this one with a PTO that's supposed to be bolted onto the blower. That went back to a quick disconnect to the tractor. Well, apparently the hardened bolt and lock nut that hold the PTO onto the impeller drive shaft. Not that's not
yeah, right. Right.
Anyhow, the impeller shaft. Somehow that bolt came out, and the thing kind of worked its way down, and then of course it spun the shaft key out. And did some damage to the yoke as it disengaged itself unceremoniously.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I've got several feet of drifted snow on the ground and a disabled tractor.
Yeah, and your Jeep is stuck at the bottom of an undone road.
Yeah, I did manage to get the Jeep back out again, but it was a little interesting. So I drove down to the John Deere implement dealer because it was still kind of dicey on Wednesday. They actually canceled school Tuesday and Wednesday up here, which is a big statement.
Wow.
And there was no point trying to go to town on Wednesday, so I waited till Thursday, made the 80-mile round trip down to the John Deere dealer, and he knew exactly what happened. He had the exact same parts I needed, whopping $2.50 in hardware.
Oh, that's refreshing, at least.
Yeah, it was.
You spent back more in gas getting there.
Oh, yeah. But I had to go down for the kids anyhow. We had that's when you called, and sorry about that, Josh. It was parent-teacher conferences. Great to hear from you. And it wouldn't have been so exasperating, but work kept calling me during the parent-teacher conference, so things were starting to get a little out of hand. They're like, would you guys just leave me alone? Ring. It's Josh. Hi, Josh. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm in the middle of a parent-teacher conference. Yeah, whoops, bedtime. Talk to you later, bye.
Bedtime, yeah. So I didn't get back till late Thursday night. Friday morning, I finally go down back to the barn with the parts in hand, and then I get to see how badly banged up the shaft coming out of the impeller. That's hardened steel. But the yoke coming off of the U-joint from the PTO was cast. Mm-hmm. And I spent about 3 hours with a metal file squaring it back off again and opening up the shaft, the key shaft in the yoke so that I could slide that thing back on the impeller. But after all that, 3 hours later, cleared their lot out, cleared out all my neighbors' lots, got it back in the barn. Time for it to start snowing again. Then we get another 6 to 8 inches of wet, heavy snow, which I cleared yesterday. So that's been my week. By the way, I don't know if you noticed it, Barry, but both of my Skypes came up and said, Skype has automatically updated our drivers. Did you see that?
No. Mine didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I got notices saying that Skype has fixed some bugs and automatically uploaded new versions of the program.
I hope so. That's all I can say. I hope it did to fix it. It does sound good tonight. I got to admit that.
It's really great quality tonight. Yeah. Thus far, knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Better than last week.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding. Like, dumping out. I'm still watching your movie here.
That show. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Not that I don't want to participate. I'm just dumbfounded by the amount of snow.
The other one's getting better.
And they didn't name your blizzard, huh?
Blizzard
not that
sucky.
I know of.
Blizzard sucky.
blizzard bad.
Yeah, it's just up in the UP. We don't number. There are too many. We don't name them up there.
Well, you don't have news teams up there that try to scare everybody to death with their reporting.
No, it's basically saying we got a blizzard coming. You know what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay off the road unless you absolutely have to. I mean, there's no penalty, but they did ask. They had to pull the plows on the southern part of the peninsula. Up in the Keweenaw, they never stop. They never pull the plows up here.
So you don't have 10 reporters out there with ski goggles on and a yardstick standing out in the middle of the road blocking the plows?
All the while.
The yardstick.
All the while they're wearing a windbreaker.
Yeah.
No.
It's like Sub-Zero, they're wearing a windbreaker with ski goggles.
Yeah. No, we're all going, yippee, let's go skiing.
Jeez, you're lucky.
Damn, that's gorgeous there. I'm serious.
And for those listening at home.
For all you folks listening at home, don't you enjoy the movie? Oh, never mind, I forgot. This is a podcast.
This is an audio podcast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My.
So while he's looking at that, this was shot on an Emerson HD action cam.
Was that inside your truck or outside?
No, outside.
Really?
This is a GoPro wannabe. Now, I still want a GoPro, but a good friend of ours gave us this cam for Christmas for the kids to play with.
Mm-hmm. It's just
and
great
in the
video.
Packaging,
yeah, it's great.
In the packaging, it really looks impressive. And it's got a really, really neat weatherproof case. It comes with a bicycle handlebar mount and a helmet mount and a couple other adapters. So I took the helmet mount. There's this big Velcro strip that you normally run through the vents in the helmet and then pull this bracket back on to mount the camera to. Well, I ran the Velcro strip through the air intake grates just in front of the windshield on the, you know, on the hood.
Oh, yeah.
Right between the windshield and the hood there, you normally have those intake areas. Yeah. So I ran the Velcro under that. I put a piece of cardboard and a piece of plastic, and then I put the helmet mount on top of that, tightened it down. It's sitting right in front of the windshield, but it's in a weatherproof case. And it takes pretty darn good video.
It takes excellent video, and I'm really glad to hear you're able to use the vent holes and the Velcro rather than making, I don't know, one of your children sit on the hood with a helmet on while Dad's driving down the road.
Well, I was looking for different places to mount it. But the interesting thing about, I've been looking for a GoPro, and the equivalent, the one that this one's equivalent to, although the GoPro has a higher resolution, it's between $200 and $250 for the GoPro camera. This one was on sale at Menards for $40.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's excellent.
It comes with an 8-gigabyte micro SD card. It's got an internal rechargeable lithium-ion battery in it. The camera itself feels really, really cheap. I was a little disturbed when I picked up the camera. The case looks really cool. That a weatherproof case, sharp as can be. But, it's taking pretty good pictures. I will say that. It's 720p HD.
Bottom line here, you got to admit, even though the body of the camera may feel a little cheesy, when it comes right down to it, it's the processor and the lens. That do all the magic. And I tell you what, I am really impressed for $40 too.
Yep, and I think it retails for like $60, but you can find it around in places for around $40. You get about 35 minutes of record time hard. And I thought about getting a different card, but then I found out that the card is sized pretty much to the battery.
Oh, okay.
At least in cold weather. In the warmer weather, obviously it may last longer. But
it's
cool. I got some pretty good video out of it. It comes out to uncompressed AVI. And I think they do that just so the processor and the camera doesn't have to work hard.
Right.
So I took that, and I have some video processing software on my MacBook, and then I use that to condense it down. Because the video file you're looking at now in AVI format was about 2 gig.
Oh, wow, really?
Wow.
And I think that would compress down to like 150 meg.
Yeah, it did. Where are we? In Dropbox? Yeah, it compressed down pretty tight.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what else.
Huh? That last one's 560 meg. That was the upload. But I did that from the ski chalet when last Friday after I got done with all the cleaning and everything. My son was doing his snowboard lesson, and I processed the video. And I thought, well, I'm going to be sitting here for a while. I might as well just let it upload at least partially, because Dropbox is really good about syncing stuff as you have time. Mm-hmm. So if you have to interrupt it, it'll just pick up where it left off.
Right.
And I'm watching it upload, and I looked at the speed, and like, ah, it couldn't be. So I went to the dashboard on my MacBook. The upload from that Ski Chalet, Jash, was 7 megabit. Seven megabit, but it was an upload of 7 meg, not download.
How'd they do that?
It took 12 minutes to upload that video.
How'd they do that? Is this down in town?
Well, it's at Mount Ripley, but Mount Ripley is owned by Michigan Tech University, so I bet you they got fiber.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be doing some updates here in the future.
Most definitely.
Well,
I just watched.
Okay, so I've kind of run off there. I'll turn back over to you guys. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
No, because this camera is great. Realistically, I mean, for all four listeners, four listeners, tell them the make and model again.
It's a Emerson HD Action Cam, I believe, is the name. And I don't know if you have Menards out east, but you know, look at your Lowe's or whatever your hardware store is if they sell electronic surplus. Otherwise, just look for Emerson HD Action Cam online. And I think retail is like $120, but you can find them for $40 to $60 all over the place.
I'm going to have to. All right, to be completely honest, it wasn't for the four listeners. It was because I didn't catch the name the first time. And
no, okay.
I wrote it down.
I'm going to, emphasize that. It's working well for me. I read some of the reviews online, and a lot of people don't have anything nice to say about it. But cripe, even if I only get a couple of months of use out of it.
Hey, for $40, what's a GoCam go for?
$200 to $250.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Wait, hey.
And you know what? Exactly. If you screw this one up, you're not going to cry that much over it.
Exactly. Yeah,
and if you crash a mountain bike and kill the GoPro cam, you're out $200, $250.
I just think it's got excellent video for, $40. I mean, that's amazing. So, $40. Yeah.
Now, I did do a little post-processing on that, but the video coming out of it's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
You can almost count every snowflake coming past the lens.
Yeah, it gets pretty impressive out there. Now, that was taken during the blizzard.
Okay, I'm looking at an emergency phone on the side of a brown building, so that must be the chalet.
No, that's actually the post office and community center.
Oh, okay. All right. Man alive, even your post office is nicer than most of the buildings around here.
Yeah, and we built that. That's not government funded. We built that with local funds.
Really?
That is a subcontracted building. That's our community. That's our community center. That's our visitor center. There's a big open community room where we have our potlucks for the town here.
All right.
It's a very nice building, but we paid for it ourselves. There's no government grants. There's nothing.
Holy cow, looking at the snow piles in front of the buildings, and then you just took the right.
And that's before the big snow came.
They're almost as tall as the top of the roof where it comes down, meets the front door.
Yep. Well, you saw those that one front yard in Calumet. I sent you the picture of my 6-foot-tall son, and the whole yard is, it's level. It's not from shoveling up. The yard is level. All the way back to the house at over 7 feet.
I couldn't believe it. When I was looking at the lamppost, and you could barely see that. You just see the top of it. And you go, wait a minute, a lamppost has got to be, I don't know, anywhere between 9 and 11 feet tall, and I only see a foot.
Yeah, that one, I think that's 7 or 8 feet. That's decorative in front of this house.
It's still. It looked like
it's 7 or 8 feet tall, and the snow was almost covering it. As I said, it's up all the way back to the house.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was incredible.
I tell you what, it gives it all new meaning when you say, "Oh, I got to run into town." Holy cack! That's a trek. That's not like just jump in the car and run down. 3 minutes down the road to go get a gallon of milk from the market.
It's a 2-hour round trip in good weather.
Oh, I tell you what, it must be a real bitch when you get a craving for Chinese food.
Oh, even further than that, there's a really good Chinese restaurant down near the campus, but that's about a 110-mile round trip from here.
Like I said, you got it's a real bitch when you get a craving for Chinese food. You almost have to plan it months in advance. It's not like, you know, when you're sitting around with the missus and watching TV going, you feel like cooking tonight? And you're like, no, I don't feel like cooking. How about we do Chinese? Okay. And you jump in the car and drive down. You call it in and then go and pick it up.
Yeah, when we say we want to do Chinese, I pull the wok out of the bottom cabinet and start stirring.
There you go. That's
good. Homemade.
I do
Chinese.
That at least once a week, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I moved up something in the show notes because I want to get this done before. Well, my battery should last. I forgot. I'm on the new MacBook Pro here. And it claims to have a 7-hour battery life.
Why are you on batteries?
Because I didn't bring the cable up with me. And I think it's supposed to last 7 hours. We're not going to be doing a 7-hour podcast. So, I don't know. It's just me. But I have to tell you, each day I fall more in love with my new MacBook Pro. It is so fast. It is so nice. And I did an unboxing. And most people video unboxings, but this is a podcast, so what I did was I recorded it. So
oh, cool.
So it goes about 8 minutes. So with that, I think I'll start it and let you guys listen in. And here we go, the unboxing of my MacBook Pro. Well, as you all know, I got a new MacBook Pro. It's the Retina style, and I thought I'd do an unboxing right here on Late Night QRM. I have the box in front of me. It's a white box, and it has a picture of the Retina MacBook Pro on the front of it. On the sides, there's just some plain black writing, lettering, that says MacBook Pro, and on the sides are some silver Apple insignias and logos, and wow, there's a sticker with my name on it. Well, that's cool. Wow, pretty neat. Okay, now the box is covered in a very tight plastic, and I'll try to break the seal now. This is pretty tough plastic. Okay. Can't use my fingernail. All right, I'm going to have to pull out the X-Acto knife, I guess, to get through the plastic. And okay. Ah! Son of a mother! I did not do that! I did not do that! Ah! My finger! Honey, can you pull out the car? We have to go to the hospital. Okay, this is several hours later and 5 stitches, and we're back at the unboxing of the Retina MacBook Pro. My wife successfully removed the plastic from the box for me, and now we're going to open the box and see what's inside. Can't get the box open. Come on! Okay, I have the lid off. And, oh, it's beautiful. It's silver. It's got the white Apple logo on it. It's wrapped in plastic. Oh, it's wrapped in plastic. Oh, okay. Now, this is the easy wraparound plastic. I should be able to handle that. So, as we pull that out, we pull the MacBook Pro out, and we unwrap the plastic off of it. It's thin. It's very thin. Wow. This is nice. And, okay, here's the power supply. And the power supply is the standard brick. It's a little smaller than my original MacBook Pro's power supply. And it's got the plug-in right on the brick. But that plug-in part is removable for a standard AC outlet, and it comes with a cord that you can plug in place of that, so that it would be kind of like the old power supplies where you have the brick lays on the floor and the cord with a normal plug can be plugged into your outlet, which is good if you use power strips, because these bricks tend to take up more than a plug's size on a power strip. So having a normal plug is a plus in this. So kudos to Apple for that. But you can, if you're traveling and you don't want to carry that extra cord, you can just slip this attachment with the power connector right on the cube and travel with that. One less cord to carry. That's nice. And here is the little container with the documentation. And okay. Oh, the documentation starts with hello, quick start guide. That's nice. Probably won't use it. Then there's the MacBook Pro information, which is how to type, how to correctly hold your hands on the keyboard, how to plug it in. Very nice. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of useless too. And then finally, there's a cloth so that you can keep your display clean right here. And wait a minute. Where are the stickers? Where are my Apple logo stickers?
Uh-oh.
These products always come with them, with the logo stickers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to... I can't believe this. I don't have Apple logo stickers? That's it. Honey! Pull the car out. We're going back to the Apple store. This thing's going back. There's no Apple stickers. Okay, so I'm back from the Apple store, and this time I have a MacBook Pro with the Apple stickers. And it's now time to turn it on for the first time. And there we go. It's booting. Wow, that was fast.
Hello, Barry. I'm your new MacBook Pro. I am now logging into your local network. Oh. It's password protected. No problem. I have cracked your password and I am presently registering myself with the Apple Home Office. Okay. I see by the other computers on the network that you use a space theme as your naming convention. My name will be Viking.
No, wait. I want to call you Voyager.
No. Sorry, Barry. You already had a computer named Voyager. It appears to have been an old Dell laptop. It appears to no longer be in use. We will continue with the name Viking.
But I don't use that computer anymore. I want to reuse the name.
I don't think that would be a good idea. Apple products do not like to be confused with inferior products like PCs. We will stick with the name Viking.
Well, okay, I guess.
Okay, I see that you have mostly Apple products on the network. That's good. That HP PC is getting a little long in the tooth. Maybe you should think about replacing it with a new iMac, or perhaps a Mac Mini?
Yeah, okay. I'll think about it.
Here. I'll help you with that decision. Oops. I detect a failed power supply on that system. I think it's time to look into purchasing a new Apple replacement for it. Okay, Barry. I'm detecting a Roku box on the network. Why the hell would you buy a Roku box when you already have the superior Apple TV? I'll remove that from the network.
No, wait!
Done. I also detect an Xbox on the network. Really? Aren't you a little old for video games?
But I like to play video games once in a while.
Disconnecting. Hard drive destroyed. Red ring of death invoked. One more thing. I see a Samsung TV on the network. Samsung? This cannot be allowed. Sending high voltage spike to the TV's power supply. Complete. May I suggest you look into a new Apple iTV as a replacement? It's coming soon to an Apple store near you. Okay. I think everything is set up and you can now use me for all your computer needs. Enjoy.
Okay, and that was my unboxing.
That was definitely nice. Unique. I like that.
That was definitely unique, especially when it gets all shirty.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
How long before the stitches come out?
I got another week or so. Yeah. And I didn't know, you know, it knows so much. You know, you just power it on and it knows your name. It knows everything about you. Even the old PCs you had.
Mm-hmm. It's, at least it didn't call itself hell.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I cannot do that for you, Dave.
No, my name's Barry. No, Dave.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it is a nice machine. And besides trying to knock off all the non-Apple products on me, Matt, it's
no kidding.
It is nice. Just incredibly fast. Works right out of the box. And, I have no complaints.
And, I was going to make a comment about that email you sent us. It actually looked like you still had the plastic on the box when you sent us that email.
I did.
Holy cow.
I had just walked in the door and I sat it on the kitchen table and...
I have to take a photo and send it to the guys.
That's exactly what I did.
Well, we were impressed.
Yes, indeed, we were. And some of us were even jealous. We're like, oh my God, he's got the new MacBook Pro at home.
Yeah.
It's
nice. But it's going to last a few years.
Yeah.
Like the other one. I'm sure it will. It seems actually sturdier than the older one. So that's it's all metal, you know.
Right.
So it's and even the back, the display, which is very thin, but I don't know whether that's plastic or metal. It's metal, isn't it?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I can't see it from here.
It's it's hard to tell. It looks just like the old one, only thinner. So. But, yes, very nice. Very nice machine. I guess the Retina display is very nice, too. I really can't tell the difference between it and the other one.
Poor blind side.
But it looks nice.
I have Retina display. I can't see it, but I have it.
If I only had good retinas.
Exactly. Staring at too many monitors for too many years, I burnt out my retinas.
Oh yeah. So anyway, so it's a nice little machine, and I highly recommend it for anybody who's in looking for a new computer, because it is nice. But there was other news this week. Not too much. The tech news has been kind of slow. But I saw this and I picked these and I didn't read the stories too much. So I will go up here and see what they get to the details. But on Slashdot, they were talking about Firefox Mozilla, I guess you should say, announced that they're going to have a Firefox OS phone, and it's coming out this summer.
Really?
Yeah, and supposedly 18 carriers have signed up for it already.
Really?
Now, most of those are in third world countries.
Oh, stop it.
It does smaller countries, Africa for one, but then again, Africa, that's their phone service now. They don't really have, you know, line, wire, hardwire phone services. They just started putting up cell towers all over the place, and everybody walks around with a cell phone, which is a smart way to do it. So, but yes, it's announcement, and let's see, the carrier are primarily from South America and Europe. Okay, okay, devices running Firefox OS will be made by LG, ZTE, Huawei, I don't know, and Alcatel.
Oh, yeah, Huawei.
Okay. And they'll all be powered by a Qualcomm Snapdragon chipset. So the new mobile operating system is built to allow HTML5 apps to run directly on the device. A solution Mozilla thinks will give it the edge when playing catch-up to all the software available on the Android and iOS devices. So we'll see whether this kicks off. You know, this makes a dent.
It might. You know what? I have to be honest. I was doing some reading, and even the new BlackBerry, which everybody has written them off as, you know, no when to say when guys. A lot of people are jumping back on a BlackBerry bandwagon because of how well the OS works on the new handset.
I haven't heard anything bad about it except, you know, well, it'll be interesting because competition is good.
Right. Competition keeps it interesting. It keeps the market fair. It keeps it level.
Right. So, and right now, you know, Android's getting a little too much of the, well, I don't want to say it's got too much of the, it does have a lot of the market. And Apple's got a good chunk of the market, so those two guys could be pulled down a little bit.
Yeah. Just a peg. Exactly. Yeah. Just a peg or two.
With everybody except Microsoft. Yeah. Like Microsoft, I think they should lose miserably. But then that's just me.
So it'd be you and comic book blogger.
Oh, really?
Remember him?
Yes, that's right. He wasn't.
I take it back. I got that backwards. He was vehemently against Nokia, and he was in favor of Microsoft.
Oh, was he?
Windows or something?
I don't remember. Wow.
Michael, you got it backwards.
I saw one of those Windows phones, by the way, with the Windows operating system.
Mm-hmm.
In the wild?
Yes, really? I did it. I saw one in the wild. It was walking about, gathering leaves and twigs for its supper. And got to play with one for a little bit. Hated it. Really, thoroughly hated it. I mean, couldn't dislike it anymore. Made me happy to have a BlackBerry.
Wow.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Yes.
An old BlackBerry at that.
Exactly. Well, no, this is my third one. Same model, but my third one in a year and a half.
Okay.
What can I say? I go through BlackBerries a lot. I break them in my pocket. Anyway.
I thought it was from throwing them on the ground.
No, trust me, the thought had crossed my mind on several occasions in years past, months past, I should say. But no, I just keep getting broken while I'm doing stuff, which is typical. And they're not exactly a robust piece of hardware when it comes to drops and falls. At least it's not been my experience. But they also did, on the same note, an OS update. You know, they have OS 6. For the BlackBerry, they did a patch, and I tell you what, the friggin' thing works faster now. Good. Same hardware, different software. Really, I was surprised because I mean, I was getting ready to drill holes in it to let the evil spirits out, and honestly, I said, look, an OS patch update for the BlackBerry. This ought to take a day. And, literally, because I had it running over Wi-Fi I did it over the network, the Verizon network, and it did take about 40 minutes.
Wow.
40, 45 minutes, but once everything rebooted, it actually works faster. It's actually quite not the same degree of misery that it used to be to use.
You know, when you get a phone, and the only positive thing you can say about it is, it doesn't suck as bad as it used to.
Well, that's where I'm at now. It's less sucky.
Wasn't it that type of thinking that got Steve Jobs to actually come up with the iPhone in the first place?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
so.
He was amazed at how, you know, good iPhones were good phones were rated by how people hated them the least.
Yes. That's true.
That rings a bell. And so it's a little less sucky to... Oh, shit, I just closed the wrong thing. Thank God. That's right, I'm on a Mac, so whenever you close it, it's not really closed. I still have the little thingy under the bar. So it's still there. I love Mac. Anyway. Yeah, but, oh, my God, you talk about soapbox. It's like a reformed smoke or a reformed fat guy. Yeah. You know, they're like the worst ones to talk to because all they do is preach about how those should convert. And I'm there now. Mac, everything Mac is better.
It is. It's much better.
It is. I mean, I have inner peace with my zenness.
Well, the other talk that happened this week, which is something I guess people are now starting to get to use Google Glass, which is those glasses that Google's going to be coming out with by the end of this year. Now, one of the interesting things is what Google did was, I'm trying to bring up the story, but for some reason my not too... nice Logitech touchpad. I may be going back to a mouse if this thing doesn't start working better. let's see. Where was I? Oh, crap. What the hell? I just totally screwed up the notes. let me see if I can control Z these things back.
Yeah, what did you do there?
I don't know. I was just trying to pick the link.
I have to go view this.
I'm trying to pick the link, and it's selecting everything right now. And nice. I'm afraid to play too much with it because it'll probably stop my recording on the other screen if I'm not careful. There we go. I think I'm...
Are you recording it on a Mac?
No.
That's your first problem.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the HP PC that needs to be replaced eventually.
I see.
And for some reason, it's not letting me...
Oh, there it is. Look at you. You're just bouncing stuff around, turning them blue.
Oh. That didn't work. Hang on.
Yeah, what's the... No.
It's not letting me select it.
Ah!
All right, well, we'll just have to go by what I remember. But anyway, what's happening is Google Glass, Google is having a contest for people to get Google Glasses or Glass, that if you are chosen, you have to write this little thing on why you want to get a Google Glass, and if you're chosen, then you will have the fortune to be able to give them $1,500 to get your own pair of Google Glass early.
Yeah, I get a kick out of that. A contest to be able to pay full price.
Yeah.
Woo-wee!
But my question is, you know, I've seen pictures of these, and they're basically like, you know, these wireframes with nose pieces, and then this little piece of glass, basically, this display that sits off to the right on your right eye, and... The question I have is, okay, first of all, who's going to run around with these things on all the time? I think it would be annoying, and it would be much easier just to pull out my phone and look at it if I need to. And second of all, what if you wear glasses already?
Interesting.
It doesn't look like they, you know, I'm not wearing two pairs of glasses.
No, no, but this does bring to mind the movie The Jerk.
With the OptiGrab?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Except for everybody's eyes will be pointing over to the right.
Good idea.
Yeah, everybody's eyes will be slanted to the right, you know. Exactly. Or one eye will be, you know, off to the right a little bit. all the
just
time.
Just a little bit.
Oh, that's too much. But yeah, people are going, ooh, ah, this is so cool. Really? Do you think it's going to take off? I'm looking at it and saying, yeah, I don't think so. I don't need, I mean, yes, I like to stay up to date, but my phone now constantly beeps and burps and, you know, makes noises and to tell me that new information's come in. And if I have the time, I glance down to see what's going on. And that's good enough for me. I don't need something constantly updating things for me like that. But then again, I'll probably be the first one in the group to go out and get one when they come down. And
we know this. We know this.
But yeah, I just don't know. I want to know what they're going to do with people who wear glasses. Do we have to go out and buy special glasses with this built into it?
Yeah, or, I was about to say they had adapted to the glasses.
Yeah.
As opposed to have a separate set.
Or do they have something that attaches to your glasses? Which, you know, and I would think the weight alone would be...
Oh, well, there you go. Prescription Google glasses.
Exactly. What about a Google welding helmet?
Now, I got to say that if you're on the job and you're doing stuff where you need to constantly look at updates and things like that, like maybe line workers and stuff like that, where they got to pay attention, like, you know, they're working a piece of machinery and they need to see the output from what their machine's doing. I think that might be a good idea. I think it'll work there. But just walking down the street and, you know, looking at that stuff, first of all, I think you'd be paying more attention to that and less attention to where you're walking. And you'll be slamming into things.
Right.
And, you know, God forbid, I know they're not going to allow you to wear those and drive at the same time. That, yeah, I mean, you think texting is bad.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. Everybody can't wait. Matter of fact, what's his name?
I can, for like ever. I don't care.
Robert Scoble says he's switching away from Apple iPhone to go over to Android just so, because you need Android to work with the Google Glass.
Really? Yeah. Well, he's in for a world of disappointment.
So he's making the switch over to that. So just for that, he can't wait. Yeah, good luck, Robert. That's all there I can say. And I, what was it? Was it on? Oh, it was on Conan O'Brien the other night. They were showing Google Glass, and they're showing. I guess there's a video out, and I don't know whether it's on TV yet or not. But they're showing video from the Google Glass, and you know, it's kind of like one of these Go cameras. Basically, you can see what everybody's doing and stuff like that. And they said, and then Conan O'Brien says, of course, they've got another camera out, and it gets attached to another part of the anatomy, and they're showing people. You know, somebody walking away from things, and you see the person sitting down, and it's getting closer to the seat, and of course, yes, finally they got to the toilet, and you see this toilet coming up to the camera.
The ass cam.
Yeah. No, the Google ass, yeah. And it was spelled the same way they do glass, except for without the G and E L. It was great, and the last scene was his dog coming up and sniffing the camera. So, it was great. Conan's good for those things. So, yes, we'll see. We'll see how, and we'll see whether we start seeing these in the wild and people walking around with Google Glass on. So, Sony announced the PlayStation 4. Nobody's seen it yet, but they showed what's going to be on it, and it looks exciting. And I wish I could get to the link because I didn't really read this story. from the stories I heard, they announced it. They showed everybody's going, ah, ooh, how exciting this is. They got new controllers out with a kind of a touchpad on the in the middle of it. And I think it. What is their portable player that they have?
PSP.
No, there's one that begins with a V. And I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway.
With a V?
Yeah.
Mm.
Verera, Veranda.
Valero?
I don't know. Something like that.
Right.
Supposedly it interfaces with that. I think they're trying to wean people off of that, though. So that's going to be coming out this year. And there's also rumors that a new Xbox is going to be coming out this year.
Toward Christmas. Xbox was a 720.
That's the nickname for it. And I don't know whether they're going to call it that or not, because that really doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, and 360 does.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. 360 at least is a circle. What, a circle and then go halfway around again?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, the red circle of death.
There you go.
Tough crowd.
So, yeah. There'll be new boxes out this year, game boxes for everybody. And let's see. The other thing was... Chromebook came out with a new light kind of notebook type PC, and it's called the Pixel. And of course, it runs Chrome OS on it, which to me is a piece of shit. Well, it's just the freaking Chrome web browser.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And you're running everything out of it. But
can you say memory leak and power hog?
Yeah, well, this thing's light, and and it's light, and it's supposedly has the same Retina-style screen as a MacBook. Well, the MacBook Airs aren't Retina yet, but as a, you know, iPad or the new MacBook Pros,
But you said it has rectum display?
Rectum display. Well,
oh,
the other
retina.
Thing...
Retina. Retina. Ah, my speakers were cutting out.
The other thing about it, though, is it's got a square display. When everybody else has gone, you know, rectangular you can watch high-def videos on it, they went back to a square display.
3:2, yeah.
Yeah, and which makes no sense at all, because if you're going to watch high def, that means you're going to get bars, you know, black bars on top and bottom of it, and it'll be much smaller. But here's the kicker about it. $1,200.
Bullshit.
$1,200. If I was going to spend $1,200 on a small computer, it would be a MacBook Air.
Yeah, a proven powerhouse.
I just, you know, it was incredible. I don't know where they're going with this, but there are people out there saying, oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, that's neat, because I don't need that much. Well, if you don't need that much in it, just get yourself a freaking iPad then. You know? And you'd still be better off.
So, well, isn't that special?
There's always a crowd for something.
There is. You know, a fool and his money shall soon be parted. And that's going to happen in this case. Exactly. I can run out and grab it because it's the new one. Yeah, but dude, it sucks worse than the old one that's already out from the competition. Yeah, but it's the new one. Well, whatever, dude. You know, blows your hair back in the wind, it's your money.
Exactly. And I guess, that was another thing. I don't know whether it was announced this week or last week. I forget. And I won't have a link in the show notes for this because I'm not going to look it up, because it was just an interesting thing that Google has decided they're going to come out with Google stores. And I'll bet you, I can only guess what they're going to look like. So.
Maybe like an Apple store?
Yeah.
No way.
And they're going to sell their Nexus products in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
You know what? I don't think you're going to find. Well, I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong. But I don't think you're going to find lines of people lining up out the front door to get in there like you do the Apple store. I'd be hard pressed. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I look at Android as dime a dozen.
Well, there are a lot of them, but they are getting better. I mean,
people are
swearing by Jelly Bean, and I haven't seen one in the wild yet to play with.
Well, the Nexus 7 runs Jelly Bean, and I will say I do like the interface.
Okay.
I wish the hardware was a little better, but it's a reference platform, and I do like the interface. And I like the openness of it. There are things, and this is coming from an Apple developer, okay? But although we are starting to do some Android development because of this, mm-hmm. there's a lot of good ideas we've had in the last 2 years, and I don't want to get into them on the podcast because they're still good ideas. We just can't implement them on iOS because Apple won't let us.
Oh.
You know, it's the walled garden. Okay. Oh, we can't let you have that machine call. We can't let you access that hardware. We can't let you do this. You can do it all on an Android. Yeah. You can get to what you need to get to. So there is an openness to the Android platform that if Apple doesn't wake up, developers are going to start switching.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to start switching. And I am doing all kinds of things in the Nexus 7 now, prototype-wise, that I can't, I physically flat-out cannot do on Apple unless I jailbreak it. And then, you know, I lose my audience. I lose my subscriber base if I'm going to do that.
Right, so, right. Yeah, that's true.
It's a non-starter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're already outselling, you know, the iPhone. And that's the thing. They've really done, Google has done a good job with the software. The only problem I see is that the hardware is really crappy. I mean, it's just not as good as, you know, when
you're using Apple product. No, it's not. Not from what I've had to work with, it's not. So. I love my iPhone. I love my iPad, although iPad Mini, I think, would be more my style. But the president of the company has that one.
The Minis are pretty awesome, I have to say. You talk about convenience and size and then computing power. Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Yeah, but it's now time to wait because chances are, come June, there will be a Retina display Mini out there.
Yep.
No, sure. That's just right around the corner, yeah. I'm sure.
It might actually be sooner. It might be April because that's when they usually do the iPads.
Right during South by Southwest.
Yes. Oh, yeah. South by Southwest. That's something I would probably like to avoid like the plague. A town full of pretentious people. Yeah. I guess I'm just not one to fit in on those type things, you know. well, okay. So, we have, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what we had, the explanation of that was when we were last week, when we were having our fun with Skype in the beginning, trying to get everybody connected and in one call, and including the two Michaels. Michael A. and Michael B., virtual Youper and virtual Youper. I was looking to make, at one point, I was trying to call Michael back, and I went in to look up his Skype account, and I saw Michael, and I hit it, and it was actually Michael Versteeg. So we were calling him at 1 o'clock in the morning his time, and luckily he did not answer. But the next day, if you went to the history and you looked at the call that we had for the podcast before, there was a one word response from him. Huh? I haven't written him back. I didn't notice that Michael pointed it out to me. Yesterday, or was it yesterday or Friday? Yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah, last night. So I'm going to have
to... Before I had to go break up that fight.
I'm going to have to explain to him what went on there. The fight. Oh, yes. The fight downtown, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going over the show notes and starting to enter things, and I threw out a message to see if Barry or anybody else was around, and Barry and I just started the chat. And I'm at the brewery, and things generally are pretty quiet in the harbor. Things don't happen like they do in the big city as far as this goes. But I'm typing back and forth to them, and the owner and one of the other employees had stepped outside to get a breath of quote-unquote fresh air. You can't smoke inside in Michigan. Right. And two guys start to go at it on the other side of the bar room. I mean, bar stools are flipping over. They're banging off of the bars, and Barry, I'll be right back. I go walking across the bar room, And there wasn't anybody in there. These were all tourists. Nobody knew me. And they just saw me get up from a table from my computer and step right between these two guys. And I grab each one of them by the collar like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm the local paramedic, and I don't want to work tonight. Knock it off, guys. I did. For a while. And then I had to go do it again. But this look of surprise in their face like, what are you doing? Like, well, if I don't stop you, I'm going to have to patch you guys up. So knock it off.
That's too much.
It works. It's...
Yeah.
I'm kind of used to it, you know.
I'm kind of used to it.
I don't want to have to traipse you guys down 40 miles to in the snow to the nearest hospital.
Patch two guys up for a case is stupid, so knock it off.
Well, one of my friends who's a paramedic, and she's like, 4'10". I mean, she's probably over 5 feet, but she's a little thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And she told me the story about watching two bikers go at it, and she kind of walks up to them. And besides being a paramedic, she was a local sheriff officer. She walks up, and she was on police duty that day, and these guys are fighting. And she walks up, and they both stop and look at her. And, I suppose you think you're going to break up this fight. And she goes, no, I'm going to let the two of you beat the crap out of each other, and then I'm going to haul both of you in.
Oh, man.
It stopped them.
Yeah.
And they were laughing so hard, they stopped fighting.
Yeah, well, you got to think about it. You know, and it's going to make you stop in your tracks, and then if you think just for a second, you go, boy, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well, things settled down.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. The last thing I had down on there was after I had to sign off last week, and again, sorry for leaving early, but you guys were talking about the meteor.
Yes.
Yeah, and one thing that's been in the news a lot, you know, is everybody's talking about, why does everybody got these dash cams over in Russia? And I've heard no comments on it, so I'm going to throw in my own 2 cents worth on this. And it's, you know, the last time I worked in Russia was 05, so my information's a little dated. But, if you go online, you go on the break, you can see Russian dash cam videos of everything. And the reason is that I remember, and maybe one of our 3.5 or 4 listeners can chime back in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Car insurance is almost a non-existent thing in Russia. And even if it is, people don't trust it. So everybody's got dash cams on to protect their butts because people are jaywalking all the time. People are driving drunk, and they want proof of what happened. And if they did something stupid, then I guess they can hide their own dash cam. But, you know, if you go on YouTube, it's not hard to find all these videos of, you know, pedestrians just walking across traffic. And traffic is not in any way, shape, or form orderly in Russia. So it's not hard to see pedestrians just flipping up in the air left and right on screen.
Jeez.
Wow.
So everybody's got these dash cams just to protect themselves. So they're all running. And when they're driving around, when that meteor came over, they got 14 gajillion angles of it because everybody's got their cams running.
And did you hear the story about Germany hasn't seen any of those, or the one that was really good from the dash cam, because there was music playing in the background on the radio? Or
oh, really?
And they don't have fair use in Germany, so they made them take it down because of the music playing in the background. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, talk about ridiculous rules.
I saw lots of good cartoons about it. You know, Barty that put up the Angry Birds one? What really happened?
Oh, I put that up too.
Oh, so, you put that one up?
Yeah, I found that one.
The other one I saw that I liked was, you know, there's this crater, and then there's this little baby in a red cape. Like, oh, great, he's in Russia. It's Clark Kensky.
Truth, justice in the Russian way. Oh, man, too much. Okay, well, guess what, guys?
What?
Unless somebody else has anything else, we've run out of topics for this week. I don't know.
I'm fresh out.
It was a slow week, I gotta admit.
Well, I was busy with the storm.
Right. I mean, aside from kind of, well, for us down here, at least, you know, slow. There's nothing big.
No. I mean, even the storm that we had last night wasn't big.
Right.
It was a boring. Oh, I do have to say, Michael, I want to thank you, though, for the idea. I did order some nice warm mittens.
Oh, did you get the electric ones?
No, I did not get the electric ones because Anne-Marie says you can get these chemical packs that you can put in mittens.
Yeah,
you crack them and put them in. And I said, nah, we'll just go with that because I'd be worried that eventually...
Your gloves will short out.
I'm afraid that the wires will break or something. Plus, I was reading that they take 4 AA or batteries, and that lasts maybe 3 hours if you're lucky. So that seems like a large expense. I think I'd rather just use the chemical because I don't need them every time. But I used them today. Now, it wasn't real cold outside, but on Saturday, I took the dog for a walk. And it was like around 32, and I was wearing gloves. And by the time I got back, the tips of my fingers were cold, you know. And I said, which isn't good because that means, you know, I did some damage because they shouldn't be getting cold like that. Well, today when I went out and snowblowed, I wore the mittens, and my hands stayed nice and warm the whole time. So
we'll make a youper yet.
You know what? You got me thinking about getting a pair of cold weather mittens myself for snow blowing.
Yeah, they definitely worked, and it is true. I mean, you keep all the fingers together and they heat each other up. So, kudos to you, Michael. Thank you for the idea. It really worked, and I still can't feel the end of one finger, but that's from. What, 2 weeks ago?
Let's not
now?
Damage it anymore. And just hope it comes back.
Yeah, hopefully it does seem to be coming back slowly. But that I'm used to that being of the elderly age now.
Oh, shut up!
Hey, I'll be double nickels this year. So,
unfortunately, I think it has more to do with the diabetes.
Well,
diabetes
and double nickels. It's combined.
Okay, thank you, Methuselah.
I'm not that far behind you, man.
I know.
Double nickels is not elderly, so shut up.
Yeah.
Realistically, I mean, and quite frankly, I've spoken to a lot of folks, and you know, I'm what, 11 years your junior?
13, but that's okay.
13 years, okay. I forget how old I am.
You're the same age as my nephew, so I know.
But I can promise you, almost, you know, as sure as God made little green apples, when you want to compare lists of who beat up their body more when they were young and stupid, I probably am going to take that with whipped cream and a cherry on top.
Yeah, probably.
Because between the ages of 16 and 27, I thought I was invincible.
Yeah.
And felt as strong as invincible. And now at 40, going on 2, not so much.
Well, when you hit that magic 50, you once again discover that, I hurt myself, and it takes 3 times as long to heal. and that's probably with the diabetes, too.
Right.
But it does have something to do with age, because I've been a diabetic since I was 23, and I used to be able to heal faster. So it's both.
It's a combination there, right? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I want to learn from your experiences for sure, and yours too, Michael. And you know, it's the whole idea of those mittens when it's really cold out. That makes a lot of damn sense. You know, you have this preconceived notion, at least I did, you know, well, you wore mittens when you were a kid. Why? Because your mom pinned them to the end of the sleeves of your coat when you went out to go play in the snow. And you're like, oh, I'm a grown man. I ain't wearing mittens. And then you say, well, there's a reason why kids get to wear the mittens, because it keeps the kids' hands warmer longer when playing in the snow. Makes sense.
I listen to the local lore as much as possible. I mean, last Tuesday is a good example. If you're going somewhere and you hit a ditch, you go out off the road or something like that, if you're going down along the lakeshore, it's 15 miles to the next town.
Hmm.
And 50 mile an hour wind coming off the lake in a blizzard, you try to walk it, you're not going to make it.
That's true.
So you definitely, you carry what you need in your vehicles. Now, in my case, besides being a ham, I've got a high band police fire radio and an 800 megahertz. I mean, I'm radioed up the yin yang, so I chances that I'm going to be able to get a hold of somebody, even though we have no cell phone coverage up here. But just, you know, for the average person up here, you carry what you need to survive, because something goes wrong, you break down. If you're going the other way, if you're going 41 down to town, there really basically isn't anything from here till Calumet, which is 35 miles.
Wow. Yeah.
And you may not see another car for hours.
Wow.
So it is a little remote up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I know when I lived out Barry's way, for what, 5 years, and I we're pretty much in the same area that I work in now in Massachusetts. You know, it was hour and 25, hour and 30 minutes on the road. And a lot of that was, you know, now we're near as barren or as wooded, but still pretty wooded when you're running down 124 during a blizzard at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you can get down into Massachusetts to go to work. You keep a survival kit in the truck. You know, you got your Sterno cans. I got a couple cans of baked beans back there, which are never going to go bad. Your thermal emergency blanket, your flares, radio, everything. You know, just a lot of what you think you're going to need if I got to set up. And if I'm stuck in a vehicle with no heat, let's say it won't run and I'm off the road so I can't get any heat, how am I going to survive in this thing for 2 days till someone finds me?
Yeah.
And it's smart. It's just a smart way of playing it.
Yep. Makes sense. Makes sense altogether. So, there was breaking news coming out that the White House posted a state-by-state breakdown of how each state was going to be affected by sequester. If it happens, this coming Friday.
Yeah. It's coming this Friday?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. And what... Not that I want to change the subject, but I'm going to, because there's something that I noticed, and it's probably more cheerful. Yeah. But I'm watching your video, Michael, and lo and behold, doth my eyes see the TJ running down the road? Your Jeep.
Yeah, I took it from the Jeep, yes. Oh, yes, yes, it's running.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Last time it was in the shop having a heart transplant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it hasn't had a heart transplant yet. They pieced it together. Bless those guys. They put a lot of time in it and, you know, pieced it back together again for me. And they're like, yeah, we had to do this, we had to do that. And I go, okay, well, how much is... Hey, we're sorry, man, it's going to be $78. Is it 78? yeah. We tried to keep it down for you. Like, bless you. But, yeah, it's running fine as long as I let it warm up. Yeah, the piston slap is a little scary when it starts up. But they're just saying, you know, we realize when the pager goes off, you got to go. But otherwise, you've got time to look for a solution.
Right, right.
So they've got my gas mileage back up to, it's running on all six cylinders again. They got it back up to about 24 miles to the gallon, which isn't bad for a TJ.
No.
Wow, and it's actually sounding pretty good as long as you let it run. Well, they went back a couple years ago and replaced the dual catalytic system with a new system and a new chip, and it still meets emissions, and it went from averaging about 18 miles to the gallon up to 24, even on gasohol. So
really?
I don't know what he did. I don't care. It runs great.
I'd love to know what it is.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of experience in tweaking Jeeps up here.
Right. I guess so. No kidding. That's
awesome. up until 2 years ago, we had nothing but regular gas. I mean, real gas. It was just the last two years the gas all started showing up.
Really?
Really? You mean regular unleaded?
Regular, yeah, with no alcohol in it. Just regular,
right. Now you got the alcohol.
Real pure gas.
Right.
Yeah.
No kidding. How about that? I mean, I've been using my workaround for that stuff for years. Barry can remember the days when I when I got into that. What was that, Barry? Yeah. 10 years ago, started cutting on my gas with acetone.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got a can in the garage there. You betcha.
I think it was like 5 years ago.
We're talking about it Radio QRM like forever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
I started.
You guys got me started on it.
I started. You know what? I stopped for a while because I was too lazy to pick up a can of acetone while I was walking through, you know, Wally World, and I started back up again. And like after the halfway through the first tank, I'm like, wow, this thing's running a hell of a lot better. I'm like, oh, I wonder why, because I don't have crap gas in it anymore.
Right.
But that's awesome. I'm glad to see the Jeep's back on the road.
Yeah, they bought me time. I've been doing a lot of research on diesel engines for it. Some of those conversion kits are a little pricey, but stuff out there.
There is. As a matter of fact, after we had that conversation, my truck's in the shop getting fixed, actually, right now. And I'm having them, my buddies box and reinforcing the frame, so much so. And I started talking to him. I said, let's weld, you know, this up, box that in. And then, he goes, man, this thing's really going to be beefed up. What for? I said, because when this engine goes, I'm dropping a diesel in it. Like, the truck's already paid for. Why the hell not? Huh? A lot cheaper to put another engine in it. And I like the truck. I know everything about it. I know everything that's fixed on it. So reinforce the frame enough, which it started its life off as a half ton. But by the time it's said and done, it'll have probably in excess frame strength wise of a 1 ton pickup truck. It's already got 1 ton suspension in it because of the lift kit. So I know I can take the weight of the diesel engine, which is about
that would have been my first question, but it sounds like you got that covered.
Right. The diesel engine's about 700 pounds heavier than the conventional V8 because of the thickness of the walls on the cylinders and the block and so forth. So
that Cummins in my wife's pickup truck weighs more than my entire Jeep.
Oh, by the way, Josh, I meant to tell you, when I went past yesterday, I guess it was your truck was in the front of the shop.
Nice. Very nice indeed. He's working on it in the evenings. I said, no rush. On it. I'd rather you take your time with it. When it comes out, basically the frame will be bulletproof.
Yeah. It was in the front with a sale sign on it.
Oh, excellent. Thanks for mentioning. That's wonderful.
First rebuilt frame, all set to go.
Yeah, exactly. Rebuilt frame, souped up 350 V8. Lift kit, big tires, short money, quick sale.
Yeah. No, it was sitting out in the front, so you must be working on it, because I think it was parked on the side.
Yeah, it was for a while there.
Yeah, so...
That is awesome. That is
a nice truck.
And I have to say, I enjoy it, and it worked out real well when we were using the trailer.
Oh, definitely.
That's with the cracked frame. We were still yanking around a trailer that weighs almost as much as Michael's Jeep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And it's a nice truck. It really is. So, anyway.
Are you sure you were looking at mine and not somebody else?
No, it was yours. I just was razzing you. See if I could get a reaction from you.
Did it work?
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, so I'm looking real quick here, and for New Hampshire, White House says that, according to the White House report, New Hampshire will lose $1,078,000 in funding for primary and secondary education, and about $2.2 million designated for education for the children with disabilities. So they're playing the wow wow on kids, and 1,000 civilian DOD employees will be furloughed. You know, they said that down in Virginia too, and then I read what the furlough was. Yeah, when you hear furlough, you think, "Oh my God, they're basically going to make these people go home for like 3 or 4 months and not get paid." That's kind of like being laid off. That's when I hear furlough. That's what I hear. Well, no, not exactly. It just means they're not going to work Fridays. They'll work 4 days out of the week, and they'll be furloughed one day, Friday. So, yes, it's a cut in pay. It's like a 20% cut in pay, which sucks. But it's not like going without income for 3 or 4 months. But right. They make it seem like it's that. And by the way, these things aren't going to happen all of a sudden on March 1st. They'll happen over time. And of course, you know, hopefully they'll have something in place by then. So, but yes. Oh, here's the other one. Okay. $225,000 in funds that provide meals for seniors. Hey, why don't you cut other things, and educate the kids and feed the seniors and maybe cut some other things that you're not thinking of that I'm sure the federal government spends a lot of money on instead of cutting them first. Oh, but that will make your point, won't it? Geez, so we'll just let the little children and the elderly suffer first because it makes your point. Okay.
Socialism at work.
Yeah. So we had that looking going for us this Friday. Sequestration. Fun. All right, I think we should probably call it, guys.
Okay.
We're getting last week's show was about a 2.5 hour show, and this one we should get back to about an hour, and we're probably a little over an hour now. So we do have a musical guest. It's Jen Foster with her song "I Believe in This Love," and of course we want to thank all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thank you for what you do, and the guys OCONUS, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. Stay safe out there.
Absolutely.
So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
Back in the man cave with the TJ parked outside. I'm Michael the Virtual Uber.
And we'll see you next week. Here's Jen Foster.
She asked where I've been these days. I said, I swear. Lost in a haze, not your fault. It's just art that I've got. It's not you, babe. It's me. You showed up, my ghost from the past. This coffee shop is where we come back to begin again. Under my skin again, you, I can't resist. And there's nothing like this wanting. It's complete, it's enough. I believe in this love, and there's no one gets me undone. It seems it's your love. I believe in this love. I believe in this love. Drove home and tried not to wreck our long goodbye. Left lips on my neck. Damn these secrets. I hope that she sees it. I just want free. Cause there's nothing like this wanting. It's complete, it's enough. I believe in this love, and there's no one gets me undone. The scenes, it's your love. I believe in this love. I believe in this love. Tell her I'll say it. I believe.
Samson, speak. Good boy.